Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
Praise the Lord. We are so blessed today with all the blessings of the Lord. I thank God for his blessings. Thank you, singers and musicians, for a great job this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the Word of the Lord today. I was thinking, and I just thought I'd inject this today without embarrassing Christian, about Brother Jerry. And he left a legacy behind him because he taught Christian how to play the guitar like he does. And of course, Christian had the gift already. God had given him that. And Brother Jerry told me one day, he said, "Now, don't you tell this to Christian, but he's the best student I've ever had." Huh? Yeah. Now you have to understand, Brother Jerry taught guitar at a college in Indiana or somewhere. Taught music. And of all those people, because God's hand was in it for Christian to learn that style of music, which very few people play. They play a lot of the other stuff, but you don't see too many of the Chet Atkins style pickers anymore. So just want to give him some flowers today and thank God for Brother Jerry. Amen. The Lord knows what we need and he sends it right along for us. If you have your Bibles this morning, Hebrews chapter 8. One verse of scripture there, verse number 6. "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." Now there's a lot of scriptures that we could add to that and read some more here this morning. But I wanted to talk to you about the covenant, because Jesus Christ is the covenant. And understanding that every covenant that is spoken of in scripture has blessings attached to it. The Old Testament covenant from Abraham through Moses and the prophets all had blessings attached to that old covenant, the law. Even though it was strict, even though it was had its faults, yet it was perfect in the time that God used it for. And of course, we know the blessings that were given to Abraham. We know the blessings that were given to Moses and to the prophets, but all of it led to one specific covenant that was yet to come for them, but has already come for us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, being a schoolmaster to the New Testament, lays out the process of the covenant through the blood of sacrifices, and leads us all the way to the cross. And what this scripture is talking about here today is a new covenant in Christ Jesus, shed and cut and covered by his blood. So to understand this new covenant, we first of all have to know the one who's responsible for it. You can't be a part of this covenant unless you know the one who is the author of the covenant, the one who is responsible for it. The making and the working of the new covenant was Jesus Christ, and if you don't know him, then you don't know anything about the new covenant, even though sinners today, without knowing it, are living under some of the blessings of this new covenant. And one of those blessings that sinners are blessed with without even knowing it is the grace of God. We were all under that blessing because it is the grace of God that allows us the opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ. Grace does not save you, but it leads you to the place where you can be saved by His amazing grace. So we know that the old covenant was replaced with the new covenant when Jesus Christ went to the cross. He was crucified for the salvation. The Bible says, of whosoever will, they can come and accept His representative of the work on Calvary for their life, for their sinful life, and come to know Jesus Christ. We also know that the old covenant was based on the blood of animals. And all of that blood that was shed by these animals was a type of the blood of Jesus Christ that was yet to come. Perhaps many didn't know that. Perhaps some did recognize that. But the animal blood was vastly inferior to the blood of Jesus. That precious blood of Jesus was necessary, and Jesus had to come to the cross and shed His blood, which was deity. It was different from ordinary blood. The reason it was different from ordinary blood because Jesus did not have an earthly father. The blood of deity from the throne of God. Given. God said He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus gave up His place in glory, but He didn't give up His deity. If He had done that, His blood would have done us no good. But He remained and He kept His deity, and His blood, His precious blood that we sang about a lot, amen, is still in effect today as it was when He shed it that day. He established it with deity, and in that precious blood that was deity, He established a new covenant. The Bible says a much better covenant. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Huh? Well, there are some idiots, well, there are some people today who want to revert back to the law. They want to go back into the prayer shawls, and they want to do all this other stuff, because they feel like it makes them more righteous and more holy. But you see, they're hypocrites. Because if you want to go back into the law, you got to go back into the whole law. But they're picking and choosing which part of the law they want. And if you study the law, you understand why they want to pick and choose. But you see, they don't realize that the old covenant was covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, and He made a new covenant. So if you want to be religious and hold to parts of the old law, help yourself. But I'm going to hold on to this new covenant, because in it we have salvation, and we have deliverance, and we have healing. And we have promises that the Old Testament and the Old Covenant could not give us, because it was based on the blood of animals. But now, we have a new covenant. And this is a covenant of Jesus Christ. He made the covenant. It's not a contract. Some people want to act like they're in contract with Jesus. No, Jesus didn't make a contract. He made a covenant. See, a contract comes to an end. His covenant has no end. For it starts with us here and brings us all the way into eternity and forever in eternity. Without end, we have a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a contract. Thank God for that. It's eternal. And it's a covenant of His blood, His mercy, and His grace. We found mercy when we were sinners and came to Him. Christians sings that song, Mercy Walked In. Aren't you glad that God was merciful to you today? Yeah. Because if we had gotten what we deserved instead of what God wanted us to have, yeah, we'd all be in hell. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he said, where sin does abound, his grace does there much more abound, and his mercy is given to us through the covenant. Through the covenant. In the eternal plan of redemption, the three persons of the Godhead entered into a covenant of grace. It was sealed by the blood of Jesus on an old rugged cross. The Bible lets us know that in many, many places. That is why grace is so essential. And we have to understand the working of grace in the covenant, this new covenant of God. It's such an essential part of the plan of salvation. Remember what the statement in God's word says about us being saved. How are we saved? By grace, through faith. Now understand which part of this we have to play. Because salvation is not of us, unless any of us should boast. If it were us, some of us would probably be more saved than the other. You figure that one out where you are. No, but it is not of us, not of man, that he should boast. Oh, God knew we'd be boasting if it was up to us. Because there are still people in religions that boast about being more righteous than someone else. They dress like it. They walk like it, they talk like it, and they gossip like it. Oh, sorry, Lord. But the first aspect of salvation is grace. Notice the wording. By grace, that's God's part. Aren't you glad it's God's part by his grace? No one can tell you if you're saved or not saved or how saved you are, because grace is God's part of salvation. By grace are you saved, how? Through faith. Now, okay, faith gets us down to where we are. God don't need faith. And when he created everything, he spoke words of faith. He is faith. Everything he spoke into existence was spoken by his faith. He don't need faith for us to be saved. By grace through faith. Whose faith? Our faith. That's man's part in salvation. That's all man can do. He didn't say by grace through your works. That would leave out all the lazy people. Lord, help me. I'm going to do this morning. Oh, that would leave out most of us, if not all of us. Because some days we want to work for the Lord, and the other days we don't care whether we wake up and know the Lord or not. Do what we want to do then. Even though God says, don't do that, that will show him. We'll do it anyway. And then pay the price and pray that God will forgive us. By grace first. Through faith. Through the faith that we have. You see, the Bible says faith is the only thing that pleases God. Not our works, not our money, not our positions, not what we are or who we are. Faith, the only thing that pleases God. Why? Because that's what it takes to be saved. Faith in this new covenant. faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way you can have that faith is by the grace of God. He said, to every man is given the measure of faith. So don't tell me you don't have any faith. You have a measure of faith. How do you use it? What do you do with it? Do you use it to please yourself, or do you use it to please God? Don't say you don't have no faith. You got up this morning and turned on the light. You believe the light would come on when you hit the switch. That's faith. It's stupid faith, but it's faith. Because if you're in a bad storm and you get up in the morning and flip the switch and there's no light, there goes that dumb old faith. No, everybody has a measure of faith. It's what we do with it. And we know there are levels of faith in the Word of God because He tells us so. There's a scripture in the Bible that where Jesus said He performed no miracles because there was no faith. If you're not having any miracles performed in your life, it's because you have no faith. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. You see, the same faith that you got saved with is the faith you have to use to get healed. Come on, let's not be stupid. If you believe God can save you, why can't you believe God can heal you? The promise of salvation is for eternity. We're believing God for an eternal life that will never end. The faith for healing is temporary. If you don't believe me, when you get to heaven, ask Lazarus. I always felt sorry for Lazarus. I know it was a great miracle, and thank God for that. But poor old Lazarus had to die twice. Come on, you want to go through it twice? Yeah, he was resurrected from the dead, and he lived. And then guess what? He died. Why? Because it's appointed unto man. So our faith has to be anchored in a new covenant that has a better promise than the old one did. We enter into a covenant with Jesus Christ, and He gives us the opportunity to receive an abundance of God's amazing grace. How many of you know God's grace works every day in your life? Every day, every minute, every breath. God's grace. Yeah, if you don't believe that, then you really can't be saved. Because it is that grace that God gives us. There's not two or three or four or a dozen different types of God's grace. It's all one. It's all one. He doesn't divide it up, give more to you than He gives to me, or more to me than He gives to you. God doesn't have levels of faith. We do. He could do no great works because there was no faith. Then He found a situation where they let a man down in through another man's roof to be healed, and Jesus said, I saw their faith. See, that's how He sees our faith, our actions, our loving, our giving, our participating in the things of God. That's how He sees our faith. And then He comes along to an old lady. I don't mean that disparagingly. But to be honest with you, that's the only place He found great faith. Oh, come on now. Come on now. Don't leave me up here by myself. No. He saw great faith in this woman. Because she had nothing except faith. And God saw her faith and He called it a great faith. So God doesn't have levels of faith, but we do. So how do we know whether we have faith that pleases God? Well, the only way we can know that is to be in this covenant. Because in that covenant is the only place you can have faith that pleases God. Outside of that covenant, you may have faith in anything that's dumb or stupid or even good. But you can't please God with it. It has to be in this covenant. Amazing grace. You see, God the Father represented the Godhead in its invisible sovereignty. Jesus the Son represented the people as their surety, which means that he guaranteed their salvation if they would enter the covenant just as it is. What is the covenant based upon? Paul said that's the only thing we preach. Christ and him crucified. So if you don't enter the covenant through Christ and him crucified, you're not in the covenant. You can't enter the covenant by the church that you go to, or the religion or the doctrine that you adhere to. No. Well, we sung about it today, the way maker. He's the way. The only way into this covenant is through Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Holy Spirit is given to us to help us keep the covenant. Because you see, we can't do it ourselves. We enter into this covenant with Jesus Christ, we get saved. But we can't walk that walk without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He's come to lead us, to guide us, to fulfill the will of God, the will of God in us. We've tried to do that ourselves, and if you haven't, don't lie to yourself, because God knows your heart. How many times have we tried to do it, even though we were saved and we knew better? That's the failures of mankind. We have a sin nature that we can't control except through the new covenant. And in that new covenant, the Holy Spirit leads us, guides us, and directs us. Now, there are some conditions of the covenant. When God gave us this new covenant, he put some conditions there. We love the promises of God. Have you ever read the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy? Oh, you ought to go read that. Man, the blessings of God. And I've heard preachers preach that. And I've preached it myself. The blessings of God. Bless you going in. Bless you coming out. Bless the cattle of your field. Bless your womb. Bless everything about you. Well, that's a good message, but boy, you get to chapter 29. That's the one we don't read. 28's enough for us, so we think. But when you get to chapter 29, he says, if you keep my commandments, I'll bless you going in and I'll bless you going out. If you walk in the Spirit, I will bless your womb. I will bless your field of your cat. I will bless your work. I will bless everything about you. If. So much for chapter 29. On the part of the Father in this covenant, the condition is always the preparation that's given to the Son for the accomplishment of his work. Listen to this. God would not use animal sacrifices, but God would prepare a baby. Jesus Christ, to be the incarnate of God the Father. And he would present him to the world. And he would live in a perfect physical body. How many of you believe Jesus was perfect? Oh, I'll tell you, I cringe when I hear these people talk about Jesus and Mary and their homosexual experiences and the marriage that they didn't need. Listen, these things are a blasphemy to God. And they'll answer to God for that if they haven't already. But he'd have a perfect physical body. He would be offered up in a sacrifice on the cross. Hebrews 10:5 will tell us that. And then the Father would support Jesus in the work that he does. And this he did. Luke 22:43 tells us that God sent angels to strengthen him when he was out on the desert and fasted for 40 days and nights. The Bible said angels came and ministered to him. So God, he would gloriously reward in the exaltation of Christ when his work was done. Now, how was he gloriously rewarded? Oh, we celebrate it every year. He was resurrected. He is seated on the right hand of God the Father. He is exalted to the high place of our priest, the great, the mighty. He's the only priest that we answer to. Don't get offended. I didn't say it. God's word said it. He is our high priest. There is no other high priest in this world that God said we must answer to. Jesus Christ, our high priest. And then Jesus would have universal dominion. He would have the administration of the covenant, the new covenant. The administration of that covenant is placed in the hands of Jesus, our high priest. Do you think he can handle it? And the final salvation of all people, the final salvation of all people would be through him. The second condition was on the part of the Son, where Jesus would leave his place in glory and become incarnate. Now in his glorified body, Christian mentioned it Tuesday night. Jesus left his place in glory. Yeah. Gave up his place in glory and came to earth. And you know the story, his death, burial, and resurrection. And when he was resurrected, he took on his glorified body. That's why the Bible tells us he's seated on the right hand of the Father. See, the priest in the Old Testament, when they were going about doing their work in the Holy of Holies, there was no place for them to sit down because their work was never completed. But Jesus, our high priest, when his work was completed in his glorified body, now he sits down at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because all this foolishness about adding anything to what Jesus did for us and our salvation is just that. It's foolishness. The work is finished.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend.